And by the way, we have 5 baptisms today. Well, we're in part 2. And if you guys will get your outlines out, if you don't have any outlines, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians in the New Testament. I remember it with the acronym, Guys Eat Popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Paul wrote it was a letter to the people of Ephesus. Last week we started a series, The Life You Were Meant to Live. It wasn't about any self-help or, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps stuff. We're not talking about that kind of life. I'm talking about before you were born. God had a plan for your life and one that He meant for you to live. And you can miss it unless you choose to follow His purpose for your life. Ephesians 1 says this, 4-5, long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. Unchanging plan. Before God made the universe, He had you in mind. God made the universe because He wanted a family, and He wanted you to be part of it. Now, I've always thought that was amazing, that God thought of you and He thought of me before He thought of the universe. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We said a couple of weeks ago, workmanship, masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. But you can miss the plan. God has a good work for your life, for you to do. Before you took your first breath, before Micah took his, I've thought about Micah and Lily and the new babies this week, before they took their first breath, that God had a plan for them, had a work for them to do. Each and every one of you, and I don't want you to miss it as your pastor. You know, if you don't do it, it just simply goes undone. Because it's your work. It's your plan. But unfortunately, most people never live the life that they were meant to live. Because it's not automatic. You can be born and live your entire life completely missing the life that you were meant to live. Completely missing it. I must choose to do God's will. You must and I must choose to do God's purpose. God wants us to love Him. But it's not love unless we choose to love Him. That's why we're not robots. God gives us the choice to obey. He also gives us the choice to reject Him. So in this series, we're going to look at this lifestyle that God has planned for your life. But today and next Sunday, we're going to look at the number one barrier that keeps you from the life that you were meant to live. We're going to be talking about the thing, the barrier that holds you back from God's will, the one thing that holds you back from His purpose. Guys, it can cause you to waste your entire life. And it's a very, very subtle thing, sin. But more than anything else in your life, it's the one thing that will cause you to miss God's best for your life. It's not lust. It's not pride. It's not anger. It's not worry or fear or discouragement. It's so subtle, we don't even realize it, the damage and the effect that it has on our lives and how it directs us just sideways. It is envy. Envy. When you envy somebody else, what they have, who they are, how they look, how they feel, what they do, you are so fixated on what you don't have and who you are and what other people do. You truly miss God's plan for your life. It's the greatest barrier that you probably never thought of. The Bible uses several words for it. Envy. It uses jealousy. It uses a word called covet. It's so important that it was the 10th commandment. You know, they really want you to remember this. Exodus 20:17 says, "You shall not covet." Covet. "You shall not envy how other people look, what they do, how they live, their jobs, their clothes, their education, their health. Thou shalt not envy to want what other people have or what they do not have." But envy's international. It's in every culture. You can find it from the toddlers to the tyrants. You see it on the playground. You see it in a boardroom. It's everywhere. It's in politics. It's in athletics. Envy everywhere. It's everywhere. Whatever you got or want, I want it for myself. I want it for myself. I see what you are, and I want to be you. Well, next week we're going to look at the four antidotes to envy. So if you want to know how to evict envy or the antidote to envy, you got to come back. But this week, we want to quickly look at how much damage envy can do to your life. We think that because envy is a hidden sin, that it's not a bad one. Because we can see adultery. We can see addictions. But envy's hidden. And we don't realize how it devalues other people, how it damages relationships, and how it just completely destroys your happiness. Envy will make you miserable, but it'll make you miss God's plan for your life. So I want to real quick look at how envy causes you and me to miss the purpose of our life. Number one, real quick, write this down. Envy denies my uniqueness. We've talked about this for the last several months, that God has uniquely shaped you. God don't make clones. You know, no two human beings are alike. Not even identical twins are exactly alike. They're not identical. You know, there is no one like you. When somebody tells you, "Joe, you're one of a kind," they're right. They're right. There's no one like you. You're a masterpiece. Look at Psalm 139:13. It said, "God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. Your workmanship is marvelous. You watched me as I was formed in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Now, this is the clearest pro-life passage in the Bible. You know why? Because abortion short-circuits a life that God has planned before the parents did. Before the parents did. Guys, I want to tell you, life doesn't begin at birth. Life begins the very moment God thought you up. That's when life begins. You're uniquely shaped. But when you start envying, you start denying your own uniqueness. You know, envy just... when you envy folks, it just blinds your own giftedness. Envying just blinds your own abilities. Uniqueness. It blinds who you are. Nobody in the universe will ever be like you. God made you to be you. If you don't be you, then nobody else is going to be you. You know, God didn't make you to be like somebody else. When you get to heaven one day, God's not going to say, you know, "Stacy, how come you wasn't more like your sister?" He's not going to say that. He's not going to, well, he might look at my sister and ask her that. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to say, how come you wasn't more like you? He said, I took time to create you to be you, not to try to be someone else. You know what the root of jealousy is, or the root of envy? It's inadequacy. The more insecure you are, the more you want to be like somebody else. That's all it is. You just want to be like somebody else. You think, why can't I have hair like her? Or why can't I look like him? Why can't I be as smart? Why can't I have their kind of kids? Or why can't I have kids? Every time you look at somebody else and you start comparing and wishing that you were somebody else, you may not realize this, but you're insulting God. You're insulting God. Because you're basically saying this, God, you messed up. You messed up. You're kind of saying, if you were envying somebody else, God, you didn't know what you were doing. Because I should have been more like her. Or I should have been more like him. So God, you messed up. It's just like you're kind of shaking your fist at and saying it should have been this way. Romans 9:20. I wonder how many times in my life God has asked me this. Who are you? A mere human being to criticize God. Should the thing that was created say to the one who made it, why have you made me like this? Man, how many times I wonder if God hadn't looked at me sometimes and said, Jim, I know you're dissatisfied with your hairline, but I could have made you a chip head. You know? But I look at that Romans 9:20, and that's been me so many times. Who are you? You're the created, and yet you ask the creator. Who are you? Nobody's perfect, man. What I'm finding out over the years as a pastor is everybody's got some sort of disability. Yeah, y'all messed up. It's a mental disability, a relational disability, a financial disability, a physical disability, but everybody's messed up in sort of a way. Amen? Everybody's got problems. And guess what? Envy always exaggerates. They said, Jim, you just don't know how bad this is for me. You just don't know what I was born with. Everybody's got their cross to bear. Everybody's got it. But envy denies uniqueness. The second thing is envy divides my attention. Envy divides my attention. You cannot follow God's purpose while focusing on people at the same time. You can't chase two rabbits at the same time. When you envy, you're not looking at how God meant for you to live. You're looking at how everyone else is living. You're saying, I'm not satisfied with me. And when you do that, you get this divided allegiance, and you don't get anything done in your life. Look at Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Did you notice it didn't say should not? It said you cannot serve both God and money. Now, where I come from, we say can't. You can't serve God and money. That means can't means it ain't possible. Everybody say can't. That's not possible. It's not possible to serve God and money. He says you can't have two primary goals in your life. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve money. He said, you can't serve God and popularity. You can't serve God and you can't serve popularity. You can't serve God and you can't serve status at the same time. You can't serve God and famous at the same time. You can't serve God and sex at the same time. You got to decide what the number one goal in your life is. Do you A, please God and what He made you to be? Or B, do you please yourself and others? Which, by the way, you can't please everybody either. But anything you put before God is an idol. And if you serve that, you're called an idolater. But God deserves to be first place in your life. And if anything else is there, you have a divided allegiance. Look at 962. Luke 962 says, anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. Do you know what is distracting you from God's plan in your life? Do you know what is? Everybody else's plan. That's what's distracting you from your plan, is everybody else's plan. You want to be like everybody else. And you're going to miss the life that you were meant to live. The life that God will reward you with in heaven. And responsibilities in heaven if you can't live it here. Envy's not just one of those seven deadly sins that we hardly talk about anymore. You know what envy is now? It's a marketing tool. Every single advertisement that I saw on TV this weekend has to do with envy. If I use this certain shampoo, people will envy my hair. How many of y'all envied my hair this morning? But if I wear these certain clothes, you know, people will envy my clothes. If I drive a certain car, they're going to envy my car. But everything that we do and see now is to have and to create envy. It's to create envy. Magazines and catalogs. I'm convinced catalogs are from the devil. But amen. And I don't watch much TV. But I got to ask you, what is so amazing and fascinating about the Kardashians? I mean, what's so fascinating about a shallow and a pathetic life? Every minute that I spend, or every minute that you spend wanting somebody else's life is a minute wasted. It's just wasted. Trying to live somebody else's life. Number three, envy wastes my time and energy. Envy wastes my time and energy. You're spending all your time keeping up with the Joneses instead of focusing on the life that God intended for you to live. We got our eyes on people instead of the Lord. They get a new car, I got to get a new car. They get a new pair of shoes, I got to get a new pair of shoes. Get a new haircut, I got to get a new haircut. If you need one, come by, I'll give you one. But this envying, it creates this competitive spirit. And our consumer market is built on this envying spirit. There's enormous discontent. You know, my wedding won't be as good if I can't get the dress I can afford. Or my wedding won't be as good if I can't get the cake big enough. Or let me say this too, what I've noticed here lately. Birthday parties. Little kids' birthday parties. They got out of control. I'm talking about brass bands. You know, outdoor screens and all of this stuff. We're out of control. Birthday parties have turned into a competitive thing because we envy. It wastes time and it wastes energy. Now, you ladies think I was picking on you. I'm going to say something to you guys. Do you know what the source of a workaholic is? Envy. Envy. A workaholic says, I gotta have this. I gotta have more toys. I gotta have more land. I gotta have this. And you're busy trying to gather up stuff. And you're leaving relationships behind. But mainly you're not focused on the Lord. You're buying stuff that you can't afford with money you ain't got to impress people you don't like. Ecclesiastes 4:4-8 says, this is the Bible saying this. I've learned why people work so hard to succeed. It is because they envy the things their neighbors have. But this is foolishness, like chasing the wind. Here's even someone who lives alone. He has no child or brother, yet he's always working, never satisfied with what he has. Yet he never asks, for whom am I working so hard? This is useless too, and a miserable way to live. Guys, envy destroys joy. Last one, number four. Envy leads to every other sin. Envy leads to every other sin. Envy is the root of every other sin. I see it. I want it. I want to have it. I don't even want you to have it. It's where envy leads to. Envy can destroy you and everything around you. Look at James 3:16. Really look at this verse. For wherever is envy and rivalry, there will also be confusion, unrest, and disharmony, and every kind of evil. It can be in a home. Envy can be in a home, an office. Envy can be in a church. Envy can get here. Every kind of evil. Every kind of evil. Envy can cause, y'all believe envy can cause a person to lie? Can they cause a person to steal? Can it cause a person to murder? Yep. Cain and Abel. Look what Joseph's brothers did to him. If you say, well, Jim, those are just stories in the Bible, what about that lady in Texas? She was envious of the other cheerleader girls, so she hired somebody to kill him. So her daughter would get the spot. Envy. Envy. This is real life stuff. You know, we just had communion. The Pharisees killed Jesus because of envy. They said he's becoming too popular. His ministry is growing. He's going to have more power than us if we're not careful. Envy is infectious. Guys, when you are green with envy, you're ripe with trouble. We're going to close. I want to give you one more thought. Next week, we're going to talk about how to eradicate it, how to evict envy from your life. But I want to leave you with one last thought. At the heart of the problem is a problem with the heart. There's the problem. Now, I'm going to close us in prayer. If you need to come down to the altar, that's fine. You need to take care of some things. We're going to baptize about five folks. I'm going to meet them back there. I'm going to pray, and Lee and Leanne probably going to lead us in song. Give us some time to get changed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray. Oh, Lord, we ask that everything we did for you today was to honor you and to glorify you. Lord, we love you so much. And I pray that there were less of us and more of you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.